Se amate rilassarvi su spiagge bianche, coccolati dal suono delle onde, ma anche scoprire usi e costumi di culture e posti lontani, non perdetevi la nuova stagione di Il Mondo Suona Così, il podcast che vi porta a conoscere mete da sogno. Cuba, Giamaica, Messico e molte altre. Cerca Il Mondo Suona Così sulla tua app di podcast preferita. Oltre le spiagge, c'è di più.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone and welcome to the 53rd episode of Praticamente Inglese. How's it going, guys? Hope you're doing well. Today, great interview is coming up in a few minutes. I'm going to switch in Italian for a little bit as you will listen to a very long interview in English. So no worries, we'll have plenty of English in this episode. Ciao ragazzi, bentornati, ci risiamo, ripartiamo la grandissima con Praticamente Inglese. Come vi dicevo nella scorsa puntata, si riparte e sto cercando ospiti interessanti per portarvi valore, per farvi ascoltare tanto inglese. Spesso da parte di italiani che vivono all'estero, italiani che parlano molto bene l'inglese perché è più semplice ed è anche più facile memorizzare i termini, memorizzare il modo in cui le persone comunicano in inglese. E quindi oggi vi porto un grande esempio, intervisterò Francesca Lirosi, che è un medico, è un chirurgo e lei vive negli Stati Uniti, in Connecticut, e gli ho chiesto un pochino della vita in America, sia la vita, tra virgolette, il lifestyle, che la vita lavorativa, ovviamente come sempre un pochino di tips per migliorare la nostra lingua inglese, e quindi qualche termine che viene magari spesso usato in Inghilterra rispetto all'America e così via. Insomma, quindi sarà una bella intervista, interessante, credo. Lei l'ho conosciuta, Francesca, su Clubhouse, e come sapete Praticamente Inglese è anche su Clubhouse. Ci tenevo a dirvi che vorrei riprovare a fare un'oretta, una stanza che spesso facevo durante la primavera scorsa, che si chiama Afternoon Tea with Italians, ed è un modo per parlare un po' in inglese, praticare un po' l'inglese, conoscersi, insomma. Quindi stay tuned, nel prossimo episodio vi darò un pochino le informazioni di quando potremo fare questa oretta insieme. Ok, quindi let's get started with today's episode, and I would like to welcome Francesca. Hi Francesca.
Hi Mattia, nice to talk to you today. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks for being with us today. It's a great pleasure to have you here. I remember you, I mean, we met on Clubhouse, right?
Absolutely.
It was so nice. I remember in March, April was a big thing in Italy as well. Now it went really, really down. I mean, nobody's using Clubhouse anymore in Italy. I mean, there's just a small percentage of people that are still in there. But maybe in America, the US is different. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It's still huge, not as big as it was in the spring, for sure. But there's still, you know, there are still rooms with hundreds of people. Also, a lot depends on the topic, of course, but there is still, you know, very well attended rooms. And then obviously, every once in a while, there are huge rooms with thousands of people, especially when you get like some VIP. I don't know, Snoop Dogg was there. I think Jay-Z was there at some point, and then you have a bunch of like TV personalities that come in and out. So those rooms are very, very, very full. And but in Italy, yes, I do attend the Italian rooms very often, and I agree with you. It's gone, you know, it's just a smaller group of people now.
Because I assume you miss Italy a little bit, right? Because you're not in Italy. You're living in the US, right?
That's right. That's correct. I do miss Italy, and I do miss especially talking in Italian, because I do live in English. So I do live in the States. I live in Connecticut, which is a small state on the East Coast right next to New York. Mm-hmm. It's very quiet here. And there's a lot of Italians. And the Italian community is actually quite big. But everyone is always super busy. So it's very hard to organize meetups. And so it's not easy to speak in Italian. Therefore, you know, Clubhouse gives me this opportunity.
Yeah, you get the personality of the person talking on the other side, right?
Correct, absolutely. And I have a funny story for you. So a few months back, that was back in maybe April, May, in one of those Italians rooms for Italian living abroad, I met this Italian girl who lives in Belgium. And we started talking to each other. So fast forward, I don't know, 3-4 months. And now she's a very good friend of mine. We talk on a daily basis, even outside of social media. We talk on our phone, we call each other. We became a really good friends. And that's something that's literally started from a social media out of nothing. I would have never, ever met this girl if it wasn't for Clubhouse in this case. And today gives me, you know, the opportunity to know someone else who I'm very, you know, I feel I have a lot in common. And so that was fun. That was interesting. And I met her on one of those rooms of Italians living abroad.
Yeah, we are here as well for the same reason.
Exactly. Because, you know,
I should start again doing my room afternoon tea with Italians. It's not going to be anymore on a daily basis because it's very tough and you can't be there all the time. So I will kind of try to do something like once a week to do an hour and talking in English with other Italians, something nice. And, that's the reason why we're here. We met so many people, Italians as well, or Italians living abroad. 80% of my guests are from Clubhouse.
Yeah, no, I did really love and I did really enjoy your room on Clubhouse a lot. So I do understand that if you do it on a daily basis, it can be really intense. But once or twice a week, I thought it was really nice, you know, get to speak in English and get, you know, you get to meet people living in Italy or living abroad, all different stories. Everyone has an interesting story to tell. And I found that room to be really nice. So you should definitely consider going back.
Great. I'll do. But now let's get back on track. First thing first, you should introduce yourself properly, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Francesca and I was born and raised in Rome. I'm a medical doctor. I'm a surgeon, more specifically.
Surgeon, posso intervenire, è chirurgo.
Exactly. And I did study in Italy. I completed all my training and everything in Italy. And then in 2008, I had this great opportunity to move to the States for a fellowship in New York City, which was huge. I felt so lucky at the time. I didn't know what I was putting myself into, but I said, this is such a great opportunity that I cannot pass. So in the fall in the fall of 2008, so it was end of September, I moved to New York City to start my fellowship, knowing and thinking that that was just a one-year experience and I would go back to Italy and start my career there as a doctor, as a surgeon. But guess what? I met the love of my life. I met this wonderful American guy through some common friends, interestingly, through an older friend of mine, Italian, that was living in New York back then, who introduced me to this guy. So towards the end of my fellowship, here comes the question, what are we going to do now? What am I going to do? Am I going to go back to Italy or am I staying here? So we decided that this relationship was important to both of us. And therefore, we found a way to, you know, make it work. And that's when my life abroad started.
Wow.
So, I have been living in the States since, even though I spent 5 years living in the UK as well.
Okay.
That's because our jobs brought us to the UK. And then eventually our jobs brought us back to the States 2 years ago.
So you have experience in living in the UK and in the US as well. And of course, in Italy. So that's fantastic, because I also think that it's quite difficult to, you know, to decide to move to the US and stay there, because it's difficult to get, you know, the green card.
That's correct. That is correct. Exactly. The reason why we decided at some point to move to London, it was for job opportunity, but also because it was an English speaking country where both my husband and I could live and work. And we didn't have, you know, a visa issue back then. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we got married. And through the marriage, I was able to get the green card. Because as you said, you know, moving to America, it's not easy unless you have either a green card, either through marriage or through work. If your work, the company that hired you sponsors you to get a green card, or you can come on a work visa or on a student visa. Like the first time I moved to the States in 2008, that was through, it wasn't exactly a student visa. It was an exchange visa for researcher and people in science. But anyway, yeah, it's not that easy. But then
and maybe you can stay just 1 year, if I remember well.
Yes,
with the student visa, or
yeah, it depends. Some of them, there are many different types. Some of them can be extended, but yes, definitely, it's not an easy process.
And also, the other thing about living in the US is also the fact that there are quite huge Italian communities all over the US, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they are incredibly proud. They are incredibly proud to be Italians, even though they are second and even third generation Italians now. Although I must say that right now you can also find the very large Italian communities of, you know, first generation people like mm-hmm. me who moved to the States 10, 15 years ago as, you know, newly, you know, graduated and started their careers here. So right now you can find a lot of people in their mid-30s, early 40s that started their careers here, started their family. So, and that community now is quite big, particularly in the two coasts, in the East Coast and the West Coast, where obviously most of the jobs are. Like right now in Connecticut, which is really a small state, we have you know, quite a large group of first generation Italians, all around more or less the same age. And then you have these huge communities of Italian Americans, right? Those who moved here 50, 60 years ago, and now they have their kids and grandkids who are Americans, but they do still keep, you know, either connections with Italy, or they maintain their traditions, for example. And that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And what are the main differences? You know, something that you can say, you can share with us, let's say on, you know, your lifestyle, the differences in between the Italian lifestyle in the American environment, let's say.
Right.
In general, from your perspective, of course.
Right. We and I say we as we Italians are interesting because we have this habit of recreating our little Italy no matter where we live.
Yeah.
So... the first thing first, when you move here, you start looking around to see if there is an Italian deli which is Alimentari, that sells Italian products. Mm-hmm. So we are very obsessed with that. So we like to hang out with Americans. You know, we definitely are very well settled with the neighbors and everything else. But at home, we are still very Italian. So we do like to cook Italian. So we do like to speak in Italian.
Need to find the pasta de cecco or
that's
the sauce, the Barilla sauce somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I think because, you know, we do like, it's a mix of things. You know, we are proud, of course, to be Italians. We are used to that. We don't want to give that up. And it's interesting if you read the some threads of posts on Facebook of these Italian groups living in the States, 90% of them are about food and about bringing back food when you go home or having food sent, or where did you find this, especially during the holidays, you know, when it's Christmas time, for example. But right now in America, you can find pretty much everything. You really can recreate your little Italy here. And for some reason, I found this to be stronger in America rather than in the UK. And I think because somehow when you live in the UK, you are closer to home.
Yeah, 2 hours flight and right. You are there.
And you're there. While here, it's a lot farther. It's a lot more difficult to travel. It's also a lot more expensive. So you feel like you have to bring some, you know, a bit of Italy here and recreate a little bit of your Italian life.
Particularly on food.
Exactly.
Because we are very proud of food. I mean, everybody is enjoying all over the world the Italian cuisine. So, of course, as we are Italians, we want to bring them as well the proper Italian raw material, let's say, put it this way, and recipes and things like that. Also because I saw quite ridiculous stuff people doing pasta alla bolognese or very weird pizzas. So they are kind of not properly interpreting the Italian cuisine and history, let's say.
That's true. This is an old debate. You know, you have this, you know, mix of ingredients that are sold to you as Italian. Like, I have another funny story. When I first met my husband, he asked me, you know, he was very curious of everything about Italy, about food, about our culture. And then one day he asked me if I liked pasta Alfredo, which is pasta Alfredo. And back then, I really had no idea what pasta Alfredo was. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm really not sure what you're talking about. Can you describe this to me? So he described what it was. And I said, I don't think this is Italian. And then we went back to do some research. It is actually somehow has some, you know, origin with Italy somehow, but it's been, you know, changed so many times, but everyone here thinks it's Italian. So we are very proud in that sense. We want to keep things authentic and genuine and especially, you know, the real traditional things like the bolognese sauce, as you said. Mm-hmm. It's something that we really want to keep it traditional. And it's interesting because Americans, they could spend hours talking about how you cook turkey for Thanksgiving, and we Italians could spend hours talking about how we make our bolognese sauce.
It's true.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And what about, what can you tell us about work? you know, there are, I assume there are quite a few differences.
There are, yes. When I moved here in America back then, almost 15 years ago, it was still very strong. There was still very strong the idea of work hard, as hard as you can. Work extended hours.
Workaholic.
Exactly, workaholic. Start very early in the morning, finish very late at night. The more you work, the better you are. And that was, you know, very strong here. It was, you know, yes, they would take a break. Yes, they would have a coffee, but they would be constantly connected to their computer or to their phones. I must say that over the last few years, I noticed there is a shift. Mm-hmm. And Americans are becoming a little bit more like us, okay. Meaning that
9 to 5, that's it.
Right. And they start also talking about things about like quality of life. That was something that I never heard 15 years ago in America. They didn't care about quality of life or work-life balance. For them, it was work, work, work. Right now, our generation talks about work-life balance, you know, taking care of yourself, take the time to take care of yourself, reconnect with your family, reconnect with your friends. So I noticed that the pace has slowed down a little bit, mm-hmm. And they started understanding that you can be productive and you can work even if you don't work yourself out, you know, off, meaning that you don't need to kill yourself in the office. I must say that probably the last 2 years with the pandemic, that also helped a lot, because here everyone right now is working from home. Everyone who can work from home is working from home.
So and they realized about, you know, how good it is to, you know, reconnect with your family, take your time, avoid long transportation, commuting to work. Yeah, in Italy, it is exactly the same. You know, it's very difficult right now because, you know, to find people working in the hospitality sector, you know, also because there are quite a few people that they realize that maybe they changed job during the pandemic, or maybe they are trying to do something small, but something that they really love, or maybe they moved back to their hometown. Because everything now with an internet connection and a laptop, you can do almost everything. I mean, of course, it really depends on your work.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
Quite a few companies as well realized that, you know, the productivity, not always, but in general, is not going to be so different if you work from home compared to going into an office. And they also is even cheaper for them, because they don't have to buy anymore these huge offices in the center of the city, spending so much money in rent. So it's kind of a win-win situation for both the worker and the employer. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, people here, they're not going back to the offices yet. And those who are discussing about going back, I think that what they will do like a mix situation where maybe you work 2 or 3 days at the office and the rest you work from home, because people really, with the pandemic, they started realizing that you can be just as effective, just as productive, actually probably even better, because as you said, you avoid an hour and a half of commuting into the office each way. And, you know, I don't know, if you have kids, that you can take your kids to school in the morning and then come home and work. And that's a nice, you know, family moment. That's quality of life. And that's something totally, totally new for Americans. Like back then, already at 6 o'clock in the morning, you would see a huge, a tremendous amount of traffic on the highways, or people trying to get to work as soon as they could. Right now, if you go on a highway at 7 o'clock, there is probably a third of the traffic that there was before, and people are liking it. And I think that's where we are heading to, and it's a nice shift.
Which is the proper smart working, because exactly. we were saying I'm in a smart working, which is not true. We said so many times that I was just remote working from home. The real smart working is what you said. So 2 or 3 days in the office and 2 days or three, it depends, one at home. So it's kind of having a mix, because it's very important, I think, the relationships with your colleagues, you know, and with other employees of the company, to create the group, to, you know, sometimes it's very important to stay together in a room rather than everybody on the screen.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about this with my husband the other day, because his company hasn't gone back since March 2020. Okay. So a very long time that he's been home. And in the meantime, they had the new people coming in and the other people left for other jobs. And these people have never met each other. And I said, do you miss that kind of interactions when you go down, I don't know, to get a coffee and maybe exchange a few words with a coworker, or maybe when you're waiting for the elevator and you exchange just few words about, hey, what did you do last weekend? Are you missing this at all? And he said, yes, I am missing it. And the company realized that they were missing that little small quick interactions. And his company came up with a very interesting idea. What they're doing, they are having these Zoom calls that are called social with a colleague. It's a one-to-one, and they talk things outside of work. They are on a Zoom
football,
call.
Maybe they're talking about golf.
Or family, or what did you do last weekend? Are you planning your next holiday? Mm-hmm. Which is, still through a screen. But at least it tries to recreate that kind of like human interaction that you used to have in person in an office when you decided to take a 5 minutes break to get a coffee and have the little chitty chat with a coworker.
You said two words. Possiamo switchare in italiano per un attimo. Tu hai detto co-worker e poi hai detto un'altra cosa, elevator. E sappiamo tutti che invece in the UK l'ascensore è the lift.
Esattamente.
Riesci a farci a mente, questa potrebbe essere una cosa interessante per tutti, una piccola carrellata di termini, visto che sei riuscita a vivere sia in the UK che in US, delle differenze anche tra gli anglosassoni, diciamo, cioè tra coloro che parlano inglese, sui termini e sulle differenze?
Sì, ed è molto divertente, specialmente perché quando vivi a Londra ti accorgi subito se hai un americano intorno, al di là dell'accento, della cadenza, certo, ovviamente, ma anche dalle parole che usa e viceversa. Quando sei qui in America e senti nominare, per esempio, a jumper, take your jumper, it's quite chilly out today.
Sarebbe
il maglioncino, that in America is sweater.
The sweater.
Sweater. In Inghilterra is a jumper. Ce n'è un'altra che è molto divertente e mi ricordo soprattutto quando avevo i bambini piccoli nel passaggio tra l'Inghilterra e l'America, i pantaloni in America si chiamano pants, mm-hmm, mentre in Inghilterra si chiamano trousers. Ma la cosa divertente è che se tu dici pants a Londra, non sono i pantaloni, bensì it's underwear, ovvero l'intimo.
L'intimo,
le mutande.
Certo. Le mutande, sì, stavo dicendo anche le mutande.
Esatto. E quindi that's interesting. But there are a lot. For example, fall and autumn, che sarebbe l'autunno. In America it's fall. Invece a Londra, in Inghilterra, è autumn. E cos'altro c'è? C'è o drugstore o chemist, la farmacia.
Sì. Drugstore in America, chemist in
Inghilterra. Esatto. E cosa c'è? Garbage can o rubbish. In America diciamo garbage, in Inghilterra si dice rubbish per dire la spazzatura.
Sì,
e sì. Ce ne sono tante ed è divertente. Ah, appunto, tu hai detto elevator and lift. We have crazy and mad. In America usiamo molto la parola crazy. Are you crazy? In Inghilterra invece si usa molto più spesso la parola mad.
You're mad.
Esatto, you're mad. Oppure nel linguaggio anche, diciamo, molto più conviviale tra amici. In Inghilterra si usa molto la parola mate.
Sì,
per
è
dire,
vero.
Mentre qui si dice buddy. Hey buddy, how you doing? Mentre a Londra diresti
hey mates. Hi mates.
E queste sono molto divertenti, ce ne sono, non so, ce n'è una che è famosissima ed è una lunga diatriba tra gli inglesi e gli americani, che sono le patatine fritte. In America sono fries, french fries, e in Inghilterra sono chips. Mentre in America chips sono le patatine, quelle nella busta, che a Londra chiamano crisps.
Corretto, the crisps.
Crisps. Noi invece qui le chiamiamo chips, che però per loro appunto sono le patatine fritte. E, sì, sono tutte queste piccole cose che sono molto divertenti, e loro sono molto, anche gli inglesi e gli americani, campanilistici in questo, nel senso ciascuno è convinto che sia la versione giusta.
Ovviamente.
Così come ad esempio le bibite gassate. Ah, questo è divertente, perché questo c'è una differenza anche all'interno degli Stati Uniti. Le bibite gassate in Latina, qui vengono chiamate soda o pops, a seconda di dove sei. Gli stati del Midwest soprattutto le chiamano pop, mentre per esempio sulla East Coast si chiamano soda. Can you get me a soda, please? Ed è divertente, ce ne sono molte.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this, this little update about differences between, American and British English, let's say. If I can ask you, I'm sure you have many Italian friends that are trying to improve their English, because it's very important at work, maybe, no? Do you have any suggestions in terms of pronunciation, in terms of understanding? Anything could be useful for us.
Right. So first, I would say, try to listen to as much English as you can. Right now, with all the streaming that we have for movies and TV shows, that is a great way to listen to English words. And you can start by watching something that you might have watched many times in Italian, so you know that movie or you know that TV show really well, you know what's happening next. So try listening to it in English, maybe initially with Italian subtitles, even though at that point I think that it's more important to listen to the words and how they are pronunciated, so not very much necessarily the meaning. So listen to as much as you can. And today it's very easy. There are, from
Netflix, YouTube.
Exactly, streaming platform to podcast, exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to practice your English, speak in English every time you can. It doesn't matter if it is not perfect. It doesn't matter if you're missing a word or two. It doesn't matter if your pronunciation at the beginning is not good. It really does not matter. If you have a friend that can speak a little English, sometime just switch to English. Try, just start speaking.
You said something really nice. And you can do it as well when you are alone in the car going to work. So you're not going to be, let's say, worried about somebody's judging you about your pronunciation on everything, but you need to practice. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, it's just or really, if you have you know, I have a friend that wants to practice with you, don't be shy. And it's fine to get a word wrong. It's fine if the pronunciation is not perfect at the beginning. But practice, it is really, really important. Also, because after a while, it will give you the confidence to practice even more.
True.
Because you will feel less shy and you will feel more confident. Ti senti più sicuro di te, no?
Certo,
più pratichi e più parli e più alla fine uscirai un po' dalla timidezza, che è normalissimo avere all'inizio. Però ecco, trovare qualcuno, un amico, un'amica con il quale non ci si vergogna, no? Dire dai, adesso per mezz'ora parliamo in inglese, proviamo, vediamo che succede. Alla fine non c'è nessuno che vi ascolta.
Certo.
Si può fare.
Or you can open a room on Clubhouse,
oh,
or
absolutely.
You can open a room on Green Room or whatsoever. Or there are quite a few also. I've listened to a few rooms that they're, you know, just practice English. You just talk with absolute people from all over the world that are trying to improve to learn English, and that's quite nice.
But I would say that I found in the past when I was learning. I found watching movies to be extremely helpful for comprehension in English.
With subtitles as well?
Yeah, with or without, you know, because you get to listen to the words, you get to listen to the pronunciation, and eventually you will also understand.
Yeah.
But that is a very good exercise. Unlike music, for example, when I was a lot younger and I was trying to learn English, I started with songs, and I would try to write down the lyrics of what I was, you know, understanding. And then I realized that with the music and the lyrics and the way the singers sing very differently from each other, that wasn't very easy. It was fun because I was listening to music and enjoying music at the same time. But trying to understand or learn English from the music, I found it more difficult than from a movie, for example, or a TV show.
Great.
Especially a movie, for example, that you know well, maybe you watched it through two or three times in Italian, so you don't have to focus as much on understanding the plot or what's going on in this movie. So you can focus more on the dialogues.
And where can we find you? I mean, for sure, we can find you on Clubhouse sometimes.
Oh, yes. You can find me on Clubhouse. I host a room in Italian, though, not every night, but it's in Italian with Italians. But if you want to practice English with me, you know, you can find me on Clubhouse. Send me a message on Clubhouse. Now, Clubhouse has direct messaging in the app. Which is
so
really
you are
Francesca Lirosi, Grodin, ma se cerchi già Francesca Lirosi mi trovi, e Clubhouse adesso ha anche la messaggistica diretta, quindi se volete praticare l'inglese, shoot me a text. Si dice qui, mandatemi un messaggio e mi fa piacere praticare l'inglese. E poi Mattia, io penso che tu debba ricominciare le tue room su Clubhouse
mi stai pushando, ecco, trovando un termine di quelli che usiamo anche qua pseudo inglesi, no? Sì, no, infatti cercherò di fare magari una room a settimana. Avevo detto a tutti che comunque sarei tornato a settembre, perché comunque c'è una grossa piccola grande community di 1800 persone che comunque seguono praticamente inglese su Clubhouse, perché praticamente inglese è un podcast, ma poi si è anche, come dire, si è duplicato un pochino anche su Clubhouse. Non so quanti italiani ancora ci sono su Clubhouse, devo essere sincero, però per quei pochi, magari una volta a settimana dal prossimo episodio, che io esco ogni settimana adesso con il podcast, magari annuncerò un orario dove ci facciamo un'oretta di chiacchierata in inglese tutti insieme, anche con tutti magari quelli che seguono il podcast. Sarebbe carino, insomma.
Sì, secondo me sì, anche perché adesso Clubhouse è aperto a tutti, no? Ti ricordi prima all'inizio era solo su inviti, invece
Yes.
adesso è scaricabile sia su
Su Android
iOS
che
che su,
iOS,
esatto.
certo, è
E
tutto.
quindi chiunque si può iscrivere e chiunque può partecipare e la tua room era davvero molto, io la trovavo molto carina e molto utile. E poi c'è questa interazione diretta, no? Live. Che è utile per chi vuole imparare, per chi vuole praticare, per chi vuole migliorare, insomma, è
Vabbè, mi hai
molto
dato l'ultima
utile.
spinta, dai.
Eh
Allora,
sì, dai,
settimana
dai.
prossima annuncio, magari troveremo
Bravo.
un orario che va bene a tutti,
Sì.
magari non so, nel weekend o magari durante, boh, non so, dopo orario aperitivo, cena, adesso vediamo.
Esatto.
Perché poi se voglio coinvolgere ovviamente anche voi italiani in America, ovviamente non può essere mai prima delle 3 di pomeriggio, ecco,
Eh sì,
perché
più o meno sì. Eh
quando vi svegliate, insomma.
sì.
Ok, thank you very much, Francesca.
Thank you so much, Mattia. It was a pleasure. Oh, it was a pleasure for me. This was a lot of fun. This was my first experience for a podcast. I
Oh,
love
wow.
it. Thank you so
So
much.
next week you should go and listen to our conversation, and
Absolutely,
that
I
would be
will.
nice. That would be nice to listen to.
Absolutely. I'm very curious. Thank you so much. A big thank you to all the people that listen to your podcast. I know everyone loves it. And thank you for listening to me today.
Thank you very much, guys. Of course, as always, as I always say, have a great week ahead, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye, Francesca.
Bye, Mattia. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Segui i podcast di Voice sulla tua app di podcast preferita. E se sei un utente Prime, ascoltalo senza pubblicità su Amazon Music.